Okay, welcome to listening to Rachio Poker Podcast. This episode is in English, obviously, as you can hear. If you're looking at the video version, you'll see me, and to the left is a lovely Maureen Blocklinger. Did I say that right?
Hi. Yes, it was very good pronunciation.
Thank you. So Maureen is from Switzerland, poker player, as well as a co-host to a poker show on Twitch. I think it's called Poker Headlines, isn't it?
Yes, Poker Headlines, and we're on the Hustler Honey channel, and Jillian Epp is the main host of the show.
It's a really fun show. I mean, they are funny. They're funny, and it's very good. Honestly, very good content. I highly recommend the follow and stuff. So how are you doing, Maureen?
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, we're kind of like in a lockdown here. Just recently on Monday, stores opened in Switzerland. We still have restrictions on how many people can be in the store at one time. We still need to wear masks. But apart from stores, it's pretty quiet here. Can't really do much.
Okay, so you haven't. I guess live poker is completely out of question for now, huh?
Yeah, especially here in Switzerland, no live poker at the moment. We're hoping for May 1st as a reopen date.
Well, same here. So I guess that's why we're doing this kind of podcast, because we have nothing else better to do. So also,
yeah.
But honestly, like, this is honestly a perfect week to have you as my guest, because earlier this week is actually the IWD, the International Women's Day. So first of all, I don't even know what's the proper I don't know, greetings. Should I congratulate you on Women's Day?
Yeah, that's the thing, because I also saw, you know, across social media, people wishing each other happy International Women's Day. Yeah. And for some of the issues, right, if we look at issues outside of poker, some of the issues are quite tough. So I don't think it's a happy International Women's Day. Okay. As a woman, you know, I'm really just happy that we have a day that some of these issues can be brought to the forefront. You know, companies can get involved. The IWD also encourages companies to do a whole year long campaign. And I'm just happy that these issues are covered on this day, but also sad that we still have some issues in the world.
Yeah, well, there are too many issues. But like, there's one thing. Like, okay, so I first of all, like, I guess this is a little disclaimer. Like, I'm a man. Actually, earlier this week, I even had a, well, not a debate. It's almost like I was listening to a lecture about how men cannot be feminist, actually, which is not important. I don't even know why I mentioned it, but I do want, okay, I'm a very pragmatic person. Like, I do want to see more women getting into poker. And right now, I mean, I'm sure you would agree too, like, all around the world, the number is not great. Like, considering in the whole planet Earth, you know, our numbers are roughly 50-50, but that's not what we see in poker. So, I mean, I don't know. I've been in poker for a long time. I have some theories, but I don't think I have a very good theory. What do you think?
Yeah, and again, I'm fortunate enough to be able to travel to see different countries and cities across the world, have played in various places. And I think that the reasoning is different everywhere, right? And here in Europe, I would say, you know, and even Europe, we can distinguish between Ireland and the UK versus where I'm at, continental Europe, right? And I always get asked the question, you know, Maureen, did you ever have, you know, bad behavior from men towards you at the table? You know, are they aggressive? Do they say mean comments to you, etc.? And I would have to say, in Europe, I never experienced that, right? Okay. As a woman, yeah, surprisingly. So as a woman sitting down, the people were more curious about, oh, cool, you're new, you know, what's your background? Where do you work? Why are you in Switzerland, right? What are you doing here? So more out of curiosity, not the, you're a woman, get off the table. So I had some different experiences here in Europe compared to some other people. When I go to Asia to play, I mean, we were in Taiwan together,
right,
for the APT. That week, it was special because there was the special group in town, right? The team Queen Japan's was in town, and APT actually hosted the ladies event. So I did see more women out during that week. So I can't answer for Asia. So maybe I can defer that question to you. If we are 50-50, why?
Clear, right? What gifts?
Yeah. So why do we see many more women in the U.S. playing compared to Europe, compared to Asia? I honestly can't answer for all countries.
Like, first of all, I'm not even sure, like, if there, you know, there are a lot of, you know, in the U.S. is much better, right? Because especially if you think about, like, the slightly higher, like, I guess the higher buy-in world, right? Like for example, if we look at the World Series of Poker main event, live ones I'm talking about, right? The number is really low. Like, I thought it was under 10%, but earlier, like, before we start recording, you mentioned that number is less than 5.
Yeah, correct. And again, I mean, that's one event that we have numbers on, but in my personal opinion, it's a little bit unfair because that's a 10K main event, right? So perhaps the bar is quite high, but on record, there's less than 5% women playing in that WSOP main event. I have heard this week through different International Women's Day events that some events in the U.S. have 20% live participation. So that's good news, right?
Well, that's much higher than anything I've seen, actually. Yeah, so I promise I'll get to Asia part but what we just talked about, like, just, you know, something came to my mind, right?
Yeah, sure.
I wonder if it has something to do with, you know, the differences between men's social group and female social group. Because when I think about, okay, pros, you know, they just do whatever they have to do to make a living, right? So I'm not talking about pros. I'm talking about recreational players. When I think about recreational players, most of them are men for now, unfortunately. So when I think about men, like, many of them, to be honest, aren't necessarily super into poker. Like, some of the recreational players I know, the reason they go to play poker is because many of their buddies like it. They probably have a home games and they travel to places like Las Vegas or Atlantic City together. And, you know, they say, okay, while we're here, we might as well play poker. They could just as easily play something like golf or, I don't know, horse riding. Like, I'm not a very manly person. I struggle with coming up with manly activities. But, you know, like, do you have an idea what I'm talking about? Is that the same way with women? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. So I wrote an article for Poker News for International Women's Day along with Jason Glatzer. And that was part of our content too, right? So for example, Maria Ho got into the game. She's on record saying, you know, she was in college, wanted to join the boys' poker game. They told her no women allowed. And then from that point on, it was her determination to learn how to play to get into that game. Right?
I see.
So again, you know, trying to get into the boys' poker night. Also, if you look at some of the top female GPI players, look at their early days and, you know, their first recorded scores, some of them just jumped into open events. Others started off in women's only events and then worked their way up to higher buy-ins and also open events. For me too, you know, even if I look today, we do have some leagues in Switzerland, women's only, but again, those came in 2016.
Like a bar poker league?
These are online poker leagues where I'm at. There are some bar leagues. I'm not sure about women's only, but again, here in Switzerland, they're new. 2016, 2017 are the first ones that women have told me about. And those were ones that I was involved in. And I honestly don't know any ladies only poker games apart from my own, you know?
Okay. So, this is another point I want to cover, and I promise I will get to Asia.
Yeah, no worries.
And is that, like, so we mentioned ladies event, like ladies, ladies only tournament, and then you just mentioned something about the ladies only online league, for example, right?
Yeah.
So in general, like if you ask me, I think it's good. Of course, there are some difficulties I can elaborate a little more later, but in general, if anything, to me is a good thing. Like to get, if it really succeed in bringing in more female players, but like the only like notable opponent of ladies event I remember is Vanessa Selbst, you know, I think the kind of inactive, like semi-retired poker pro. And I recall, like, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but like, I recall her idea is something like, oh, if you want equality, then, you know, then something like ladies event should exist, something along those lines. Well, like, what do you think?
Yeah. So some women and other industry professionals also have that as an argument, and it's kind of true. But in my opinion, you know, even if we look at the corporate world, if we have underrepresentation of certain groups, you always have these programs, right, to try to get the numbers to equalize numbers.
Okay.
So in that case, I see both sides of the coin. And for me, you know, the LIPS, right? LIPS organization.
Oh, yeah.
They're having the Nevada State Championship coming up in April. You have two famous women in poker hosting it, Jan Fisher and Linda Johnson. And then all the ladies, you know, are going there. And it's this sense of community, right? We haven't seen each other in a long time, just hanging out with friends, playing poker, doing what we like. And for this particular tournament, you know, they have a pajama night. So, you know, are you really going to see like a pajama night at the APT? I don't know.
Well, now that you mentioned it, I'm definitely telling Lloyd to make it happen. You know, I don't see why not. I think many of the APT players are good sports enough. I mean, we can pull it off. No, yeah. It sounds intriguing because literally that was the first time I've ever heard about the pajama party. So in this context, but yeah, let's maybe make it happen.
Yeah, so for those reasons, you know, making poker fun, being around the ladies, you have an excuse, right, to have a ladies only weekend and then also include poker, which many ladies do love. I think it's great.
Okay, so I mean, in general, I support, but like, you know, like me, I wear many hats. Like, you know, right now I'm a podcaster. Sometimes I stream, sometimes I play. But sometimes I'm a tournament organizer on behalf of HAPPA. I also work with APT, Asian Poker Tour also. And here's a hot fact, basically. Like, this also applies to another passion of mine, Omaha, Pot Limit Omaha. So I really love, whenever possible, I always wanted to put a Omaha a tournament into the schedule. But the reality is, if you look at a specific slot, any given slot in the schedule, I will always get more players with a hold'em event. It doesn't even matter what kind. It would always draw more players than an Omaha event. And the same works with like a different event such as ladies only event. So that's the usual argument, you know, usual struggle of an organizer. But on the flip side, me and I'm kind of, you know, inspired by Lloyd, too. Lloyd is the general manager of APT. Like, me and him, we both believe something like about the diversity of the schedule. Like, if the schedule is monotone, you know, then overall people would react badly to it. Like, they would not like it as much, even though each slot would be better off. If hold on, we'll still try to put something different into the schedule. But that is the usual. I mean, I understand. Like, if a different TD or a different organizer tells me about their difficulty, I understand, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm also a realist, and this is what I also tell the ladies. And this is why I think it's important for operators to work with community groups, especially groups in the poker, right? So it does come down to the bottom line, right? And we all know poker is expensive. You need dealers, you need placement in the casino or a placement in the poker room. It takes up a lot of space, right? These are just facts. But for example, when I did go to the APT Taiwan and they had the ladies group, they worked with Team Queens Japan And therefore, you know, she had the group. She could say to Lloyd, you know, we have 10 players. We can guarantee you 10 players, right? And then everything else we have to advertise. And I think this is key, right? Even the WSOP last year, they had an opening event. They teamed up with the Women's Poker Association to guarantee, you know, that the players would go there to advertise with them to, you know, make it aware in the community. Because a lot of it comes down to awareness. Even in Switzerland, if we do an event, we have the fourth annual Swiss Poker Ladies Championship coming up. And again, there's a group behind it, right? So without this group, I think it's kind of hard to get the numbers unless you have the guys, you know, showing the flyer to women in their world, right? Or women really looking out for these type of events. So for me, these partnerships are very important.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like that would definitely, like the thing you mentioned, right? Having at least some kind of commitment of, you know, certain players would definitely help with the cost, because, you know, like I mentioned, the struggle of a tournament organizer. I even, like, you know, because in APT, we don't often have, like Taiwan is an exception, like because of the Poker Queen group, as well as there are quite a few female players from Taiwan also. Some are really good, you know, very, very good players, and they play very often also. So, yeah, I mean, But the truth is that a series such as APT, we don't always have ladies event on every location due to demand, obviously. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and with your pot limit Omaha, I also see the struggle, right? Because we try to run Omaha games, we try to run 8-game here, PLO 8, different variants of poker.
Yes.
And they're usually met with resistance only because people are like, Maureen, I don't know how to play, right? So then I'm like, okay, well, here's the rules on Poker Stars. You know, here's the rules and how to play in English, German. Here's some videos. And tonight we're actually going to play it in the play money section, right? Get some in practice. And then, you know, you can try out your skills Thursday live in the poker club. So possibly with Pot Limit Omaha, you know, it's the fear, you know, why or how can I justify spending, you know, $100-$200 on a buy-in if I really don't know that game quite well?
Yeah, that's for sure. It's really interesting. I don't want to stray the topic too far away because we're about women's in poker, but mm-hmm. I don't know if you noticed, like some people just really like to say they don't know Omaha all day. Oh, I never play Omaha, even though I've seen you play Omaha last time. You know what I mean? It's weird, but anyway, like going back to the point, right?
Yeah.
So I definitely want to say, like, here's why. Like, I'll be very honest with you. Like, Rachel Poker Podcast is about being real, to be honest. I mean, I can't give up trying to make myself look good. So I just want to be real. Like, I don't think I'm a champion of male-female equality in general. I'm just not. But there's something I truly, sincerely believe in, is that poker being what I like to call equalizer. Because, I mean, let me, like, you probably understand what it means to be equalizer, but let me slightly elaborate what I mean. I felt like poker is a game such that it is very accessible to all sorts of different, you know, whatever you identify yourself with, you know, be it male, female, the gender, different genders, or different age, or different, or even like physical disabilities, people with physical disabilities, or yeah, that's it, actually. That's about it. Like, I felt like because of the rule of the game, how accessible it is, it gives equal level playing grounds to different groups of people so that they can compete at the same level. And honestly, like, what I've been intrigued about, because we mentioned why there are so few women in poker tournaments and poker in general, right? I'm intrigued because it's not like, so I mean, it is a game where honestly, I sincerely believe women can play at the level playing field with, I don't know, I'm repeating myself. Yeah, level playing field against men.
Yeah, and I agree with you, right? If and also if we take poker and view it as a mind sport, then this equality is already there, right?
Yeah.
I would say maybe online it's easier for women to play, okay, only because you have different level of buy-ins and also different starting times. And you know, through these videos that were published online for International Women's Day through different poker companies, it really came a light, you know. With women, you know, especially if you're a mom, you need some flexibility, right? So if we're okay, talking about live play APT and you're a mom with kids, right, you need to organize a babysitter. Maybe you have to pick them up from school. How can you block 3 days to play the APT main event? I think it's going to be challenging.
Okay, right? That's true.
But then if we look online, you can say, okay, I put my kiddies to bed at 7:30 or at 8. Then there's a game at 8:30. Then you can stay at home and jump in the online game at 8:30. If you miss that one, there's another one at 9, another one at 9:15, another one at 9:30. So I think the options for women to play online are more than the live scene.
I'm glad you bring this up, because honestly, I rarely think of it that way, but I think it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, for sure. Like, it's a lot more accessible to women that in that regard, right? Yeah. So
yeah, and even if we look at the live ladies only events, there's usually some arguments about what day is best, right? Some people are like, Friday nights are better for me. Others are like, Sunday, because at least Sunday, you know, my husband's home. We can give the kids to the husband, then I can come to the casino and play. So even, you know, if I put on my hat, because I'm also involved in tournaments in Switzerland, it's also a struggle for us, you know, finding the right day that suits all the women.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So also, like, you know, like, cause we're already on the topic too, right? Like, equalizing. There's also about, you know, how well they can play. Right. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, because of the smaller sample size, obviously, but I do know a lot of female players who are really good players. Actually, somehow I felt like on average, they're better players too. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Yeah, I mean, again, I've come across some really good technical players in the game. You know, also you have recreationals. It's a wide scope. One thing about online, you can kind of hide or put out there that you're a woman, right? So if you look at your avatar name, right? So maybe you have something neutral, maybe you have something, you know, more feminine, more masculine. So this also kind of plays along with the theme of equalizing.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, like if your name is, I don't know, Pocket Aces, then, you know, who could tell whether or not you're a man or a woman, right? That's a very good point too. Okay. But like, I don't know, like, it's obviously, it's very difficult for me to understand the differences, like you've played a lot of a live poker at a table. Like, do you really feel like you're pressured in some way? Like, I don't mean like necessarily like threatened, but like, is there something on your mind that bothers you that happened quite frequently at a live poker table?
Not that it bothers me, but I would say playing as a woman, you know, in a live game, it's very hard to hide the fact that I'm a girl, right? So I need to establish quickly and adjust, you know, do these men think I can play? Do these men think I have no idea? Can they bully me around? And then also it works the opposite way. I was on a podcast with OA Grinder and he made me tell a story. And the story I told was actually from Taipei, where I used my image of a woman being tight, right, to take down a few pots at the bubble. So it can also, you know, work towards your favor. And in the story I told him, I had a player open fold ace king to me because I opened under
crazy.
The gun.
That is crazy.
And I was basically just running a bluff. So it works both ways.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I can imagine it working both ways. Honestly, like, because if from my experience, like, I can understand why some men would think, women are tighter players, because I guess tighter players usually, I don't know, another way of saying that, you're not as good, right? There's like, you know, like they're looking down on women, mm-hmm. right? But honestly, in my opinion, in my experience, I felt like women are in general looser than many people realize, actually.
Now stop giving away secrets, right?
Sorry. I'll cut that out. I will cut that out. I will definitely cut that out.
You can leave it in. But yeah, it's totally the case, right? So as a player, if I'm playing in a tournament with all men, like I said, you really have to adjust and really see, okay, how are these men playing against me, and just react.
That's true. Okay. So that could be, I mean, I don't know. Like, you can almost use it as your advantage, like, often, like, not just in that one case, no?
Yeah.
Hope you do. Anyway, so, well, I'm glad we talk about that. Yeah, because, well, I really, honestly, like, I don't know, like, I've seen some of the argument on Twitter, for example, right? Over the week, right? And mm-hmm. I think, I don't know, I'm sure they're assholes, men who are assholes. I mean, that's some news, right? Like, I, you know, like, they're bigger assholes and they're smaller assholes, right? The thing is that, like, I think even, like, many of these assholes would realize, like, the whole game is better off with more, you know, male, female, you know, equal participation, right? So I think it's definitely something, I mean, at least someone like me who is trying to make the poker world a little better, like, to think about.
Yeah, and with the arguments on Twitter, what I like coming out of these conversations is TDs stepping up and saying, you know, we should have a zero tolerance policy across the board. And I totally agree with that, right? Because abuse at the poker table could be, you know, males against females. It could be females against other females, right? Males against other males. But, you know, we need to stop it in general, right? And I know some rooms maybe look the other way or tolerate more, especially if they're a whale, right? They don't want to scare them away from the game.
The way I'm uneasy about it is that exactly because there are abuses, you know, across the board.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, specifically male targeted females. Like I said, I mean, I play a lot of poker. I mean, unfortunately, mostly against men, right? Mm-hmm. Some men are just so terrible to others, you know. It doesn't matter. I honestly don't think gender is an issue to them. They are just terrible to human in general. So, which is why, like, I'm thinking, yeah, I guess, I mean, I can see the logic in the zero tolerance thing, but ultimately, I don't think it's a gender issue. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, anyway, that would be a good world, isn't it? Like, if poker players are less abusive.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I think, you know, I appreciated this week online, at least other tournament directors stepping up and saying, you know, my room has this policy, or that's a good idea. Maybe my room should adopt this policy. So at least the conversations are now more that we have a problem in general of general abuse at the table, and possibly we need to stop it across the board.
But honestly, like, let me tell you something, like poker is my passion. So I rarely speak ill of poker, but there's one thing, and feel free to disagree, because that is mm-hmm. my personal opinion. I feel like quite often poker, like more often than not, poker brings out the bad side of people mm-hmm. and very rarely brings out the good side of people. I mean, if the person is good, he is more likely to be good, right? But I don't know. I just felt like in my limited experience, it tends to brings out the bad side of people.
Yeah, especially when, you know, people are losing tons of money, right? It just brings out an emotional side that, you know, becomes aggressive and bad. I would have to say in my personal experiences, I really enjoyed playing in Taipei.
Yeah.
Because there I felt everyone respected each other, right? And I never saw like any fights or, you know, big to-dos, and you know, they were very respectful, and you know, the TD came around and, you know, acting at a turn, you know, you really laid down the rules, gave out penalties, people were aware. So for me, that was enjoyable to play there.
Yeah, I mean I totally agree, but I still have to say I've seen fights. I
mean,
I don't want to insinuate like they're incapable of fights, but you know, just for the record. But no, like I agree. Like Taiwan, also Japanese, also they by nature, like most vast majority of them are very nice people, and that reflects in their poker games too. They tend to be polite and tend to be more respectful to each other. But that's not only a factor. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so. Happy Women's Day once again. All right. Yes, so
thank you.
Perhaps we should talk about something else. Like, so is there something else on your mind about the poker world?
Well, the big news in the poker world internationally, I would say, is will a WSOP happen this year?
Yeah. I mean, that's on my mind too. Like, and especially because, well, there isn't one last year. A live one. Yeah, I miss that so much. Look, I often think about how much fun I had in 2 years ago in 2019. Yeah, so yeah, I think you were probably talking about like Kev Math, his tweet.
Yeah, exactly. So I have it here. So Kev Math tweeted to the Poker World on March 2nd.
You're share the screen. You're not
yeah.
on the screen yet.
Oh, share my screen.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to? Okay. Yeah.
This okay, screen. Sure. So let me hide everything. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, hide the... whatever you don't want people to see. All right, there we go.
All right, so here's his tweet from March 2nd. So, spoke with a high-ranking WSOP executive last night to answer two frequently asked questions. A live edition of the WSOP will happen in 2021. The dates of the live WSOP will not be during the usual time frame, which is late May, mid-July. And this is all with the caveat assuming conditions continue improving. So this was the hot news March 2nd.
That's pretty optimistic. But nonetheless, I mean, so they're looking for in the fall, I guess, like some insinuating a series to start in September, late September, October, around that time, I guess.
Yeah. So again, there's lots of chatter coming out of Las Vegas with the players on the ground. Some are saying July, August, September dates. Others are saying what you're saying, September, October. This is the only information we had that Kevin Matz tweeted about with direct contact to the WSOP executives. So I think it's all speculative at the moment.
Yeah.
But having said that, yeah, I mean, you know, we covered a lot on Poker Headlines as well. Vegas is offering a lot of tournaments, right? Right now, we have the WPT $5,000 event at the Venetian.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Also, Series at the Wynn. Also, Bally's is offering the Poker Power Series. They offered one in February.
Yeah, they're definitely business as usual. Yeah, I'm aware. Like, they're operating close to what they're used to. There's actually... Interestingly, you mentioned that. Like, I don't want to stray away from the topic too much, but... Well, because I'm in Hong Kong, it's hard for me to be, you know, to be passionate about something happening in Vegas, right? But literally today, I was made aware of a situation at the Phoenician 5K that you literally just mentioned, WTTT. I don't know if you heard about that.
There's two situations. Yeah,
the final eight players they have to play four-handed, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I just posted it.
So that was weird. That was really weird. Like, yeah, like this guy, Jared Jaffe, I think that's his name.
Yes.
Jared Jaffe. So basically, like, because I'm a licensed TDA approved, certified TD, right? So I know about the rules. So 2 years ago, we did away with the N plus one final table. So, uh-huh. I mean, like for, you know, if you're listening, like if you've been playing poker tournament long enough, I'm sure you've played a 10-handed final table at some point, right? And even like yeah. you look at WSOP main event, like you look at the broadcast, like in the old days, and by old days, I mean at least two years ago, and you would see a 10-handed final table too as yeah. well. But we did away with that, and there are two really good reasons for that. Wait, should I really? Well, I mean, we're talking about it, might as well. There are really two good reasons for that. One is that if a tournament is advertised as N-max, like 9-max, uh-huh. for example, actually, mm-hmm. if there's no specification, usually it's 9-max, right? There's really no logical reason we're allowed to go to 10-max. You know, for that one instant, right? So that's like the, in my opinion, the weaker side of it. Mm-hmm. And the second reason is, and I actually like 2 years ago at the TDA Summit in Vegas, I brought it up and got a lot of support. Is that think about what it means? Like that is actually the pre-final table unfairness. That's how I describe it. Like because if you play have a 10-handed final table, so immediately before that, that's 11 players, right?
Yeah.
So you have to have uneven tables, 6 and 5.
Yeah.
At a crucial point of the tournament, like right before final table, you're uneven. So I argue is fair. It's more fair to go down to 5 and 5, 10 players. 5-5 is perfectly fair, right? To both mm-hmm. tables, you know. Because 5 and 6 are just so too different.
Yeah.
Honestly, at this juncture of the the tournament, right? Because, well, I mean, 5-handed and 6-handed, one table is like, depends on how you look at it, 20% faster, right? Or slower, right? Yeah. Yeah, or
and especially
comes around, yeah.
Yeah, and not only the blinds, because a lot of these tournaments in Vegas and around the world have adopted big blind ante. So that's a huge...
Yeah, it's a huge difference. Yeah, the huge difference, right? Yeah. Yeah, so that was the rules. But this is interesting because this is actually this particular tragedy, I would like to call it, only happens because of the COVID, of the pandemic.
Yes.
Yeah, because they are not I guess either they are self-policing or literally their rules from the casino. They cannot do 9-handed tables. I don't know.
Correct. So that's from the Nevada gaming permission, and all casinos need their series approved through them. And Nevada gaming commission says 8 players at a table.
Okay. Well, so very unfortunate. So they're what they're supposed to do, right? So they're supposed to. So this is 8-max, right? So the final table should be 8 also. We don't do plus one mm-hmm. anymore, right? So they should still combine at 8, which goes against the second point I just made, right? Immediately before that, they have to play 9. They have to deal with 9 players, 5-handed on one, 4-handed on the other. But I mean, I don't know. I just have to deal with it. What do you think, actually? By the way,
yeah, it really sucks, right? For me, it is what it is. I kind of like the N plus one rule better.
Oh, okay.
I personally prefer it. And again, it brings up the argument, should we be having the big blind antes?
Oh. Well, you won't be... I'm sorry.
I won't be well-liked.
There won't be well-liked at TDA summits. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest. I like you. I like you, Maureen. But
yeah.
I just don't think you'll make a lot of friends at the TDA summit.
Yeah, but as a player speaking out, this is the argument I'm seeing across Twitter and across poker groups. You know, why, if we're playing shorthanded, are we expected to then bring the full big blind ante? And I know, you know, there's a team reduce, team never reduce out there. And there's so many different elements in this decision. And, you know, even Jaffe said himself on Twitter, you know, I was sitting third in chips when this happened. It wasn't like he was the short stack trying to get a decision in his favor, right? He was one of the bigger stacks saying, hey, this is unfair to the shorter stacks. So quite a complicated situation.
Yeah, but it's just, I don't know. To me, it's very, very counterintuitive to do two four-handed tables. I would just, I don't know, bite the bullet and put them on the same table. It's just too, I mean, four-handed is just too far from, you know, a full ring table in my opinion.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was
unfortunate. So yeah, so I'm sure if we do have a WSOP this year, a live WSOP in Vegas, this is going to be a topic on everyone's mind, right? So if Nevada Gaming Commission still says 8 max at the table, what's the process for WSOP for determining, you know, how the final tables are going to look? What's the bubble play to the final table going to look like, right? Which model are they going to use? Because WSOP has deviated away from some TDA rules, I thought.
They do, but they're very much like TDA rules. And honestly, they adopt incredibly quickly. They, in general, they like TDA rules. Mm-hmm. So they, like, whenever there's something new, they usually think about it right away. They wouldn't put off thinking about it, whether or not to include it into their rules. Yeah, so that was, yes. But I think what you just mentioned, like, inspired me of another issues too. Like, because you were concerned whether in September, October, when WSOP happens, whether or not they'll be forced to do 8 max at most, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly concerned. I'm curious if that would be the norm. You know, down the road forever in the future. What do you think? Like, do you think there will be a possibility? Like, you know, people just think 9 is too tight and we don't want another, you know, pandemic anymore. So do you think that will happen? Not going back to 9-handed?
So again, you know, the Nevada Gaming Commission has a lot of control in how the casinos operate. So if they're taking CDC recommendations and saying you need X amount of the population to be vaccinated to live the normal life that we know without plexiglass and without masks, I'm pretty sure we're going to only see 8-handed at a live 2021 WSOP, unless something drastically changes in the world, right? Yeah. For me, 8 max is okay. 6 max is also okay, but as a player, you really need to adjust your ranges, right? Playing from 8 max to 6 max.
It is not. Well, I mean, you think about it, there are definitely some adjustment, but not as much, I guess. I think it's a little more about, you know, like the feel of the table and, you know, it was feel less crowded. And whether or not the plexiglass, I don't know, because I've yet to play with a plexiglass, the separators.
Have you? Yeah, neither have I. Because even in Europe, when casinos opened briefly in summer, at King's Casino, we only had the mask requirement. And in Switzerland as well, masks only.
Okay.
So I haven't played with plexi yet either.
I see. Yeah, so, I mean, I most certainly, I have fond memories. I'm a World Series of Poker fanboy. And like 2 years, like 2019, I was there. I had a lot of fun. I love Vegas too. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if a lot of people, I know a lot of people enjoy going to Vegas, but I'm aware not a lot of people consider Vegas their favorite city. But to me, Las Vegas is my favorite city.
Yeah. I love Vegas too, right? Yeah. Because you have the entertainment, you have different restaurants, you also have the gambling, also lots to do that doesn't require gambling. And for me, you know, we don't have kids. We kind of like that, you know, over 21 atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of appealing.
Yeah. Also, like, it's not as expensive as people make out to be, to be out there. Like, what I like about, like, Vegas is, you know, there are so many options. Like, obviously, you can high rolling, like, no problem. There are high rolling options. You want to spend $100,000 in a night. There are definitely ways for you to do that. But at the same time, Vegas can be pretty reasonable.
Yeah, for sure. Now, one thing I don't know if you're prepared to talk about, but for Swiss players especially, we don't really like playing in Vegas because of the taxes. For us, it's a 30% withholding tax on your tournament winnings, and you can't claim it back.
Cannot claim it back?
No. So the Americans keep it, and then the Swiss are kind of okay with that decision, and then possibly you have to pay a little bit more on the Swiss side, depending on how much you won.
Because
so Canadians can claim it back.
I can claim it back too. Like, so
yeah,
you mentioned 20% for me. Like, so I have, I better not give out that information, but I have a passport. I have a passport. It's a common passport. It's nothing special. And my WSOP winnings are subject to 30% deduction.
So Swiss is also 30%.
I thought you mentioned 20.
30, yeah.
Oh, okay. But you cannot claim it back because for me, I've done tax returns. I do tax return every year. And I can claim, you know, some percentage of them. And, wow, that's weird. You guys cannot claim it back at all?
So yeah.
Do you even fill in the tax return?
So in Vegas, you had to fill out the paperwork there. They take it away. They take it off the top. So you don't even see it.
Me too. But do you file a U.S. tax return?
It's kind of complicated for me in general, like, because I also have different passports, right?
Okay.
But for a person who only has a Swiss passport, you do the paperwork at the Vegas cage. They take off the 30%. Then you go back to Switzerland. You have to claim it again on your Swiss taxes.
Oh, really?
Right?
Oh.
And then possibly you have to owe more. So for us, the Swiss players go to Vegas for the allure, for, you know, I want to win a WSOP bracelet. But at the end of the day, you know, you have to pay so much tax. You don't see many Swiss people at tournaments in Las Vegas for that reason, right? If you see the Swiss players, they're at the cash game tables.
Yeah, now that you mentioned that, I don't see a lot of the Swiss players at a tournament, to be honest. Oh, that's a very interesting point. Learn something new today. I learned something new today, but back to, like, can we see, because you're on a different page, can we go back to KevMath?
Yeah, here we go.
Right? KevMath. So the caveat, right? Assuming conditions continue improving, I mean, I'm in no way, I'm not an expert. It's just a personal opinion. But like right now, like what's on everyone's mind is the deployment of vaccines.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, what's the case in, like, if I talk about Hong Kong, like we literally start less than 2 weeks ago, the very first vaccine shot was administered less than 2 weeks ago. How about Switzerland?
Yeah, so in Switzerland, they started January, and we have the priority list. So our priority list, older people above 80, and those in nursing homes and frontline workers are tier one, the priority one. We're still there. And if we look at overall numbers, I believe it's at 5% of our population.
What's the population of Switzerland?
About 8.5 million.
That's almost like as many people in Hong Kong.
Exactly. So country-wise, we can kind of compare the progress between us and Hong Kong.
Almost the same size, I mean, in terms of population.
No? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So what I want to talk about, what I want to say is, like, I mean, I don't even want to talk about, like, effectiveness of vaccines, but the issue is, like, the way I look at it is, I think of it in a very poker term, it's a variance, right? Right now, vaccines are being deployed, being administered, and now this is a very high variance scenario because it could go really well.
Yeah.
If it goes really well, like, all around the world, people are happy, people have immunity, countries start opening up. I can even see a summer WSOP happening, to be honest. But on the other end, if vaccines don't work out so well, then, well, I think September, October, still way too optimistic, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what I try to explain people, you know, I love poker. I don't want to, you know, curse the WSOP or not see it happen. But I'm just trying to be real. At the current stage, especially for me, I'm not going to have a vaccine. you know, by September, for September WSOP. I know America, if you look at worldwide numbers, America has vaccinated more their population compared to other countries.
I think so.
And, you know, again, I'm sitting here in a semi-lockdown. We only have shops open. We don't have restaurants open here yet. All we can do is have takeaway. You know, maybe we go into the phase in the next 3 weeks. If the Bundesministers agree, our government, that maybe we can open restaurants and sit outside on the terraza. But we're not even at that point. So again, I'm not trying to be overly pessimistic, but with the current conditions, I'm kind of trapped here.
Damn. That, I feel a bang. Like Hong Kong isn't doing so well either. And also, like, I don't know. I don't want to, like, be very pessimistic too, but like the problem with the vaccines in general, people are too optimistic. Mm-hmm. But I felt because, well, I mean, I understand. It's not like I cannot understand, right? Like, we've been suffering for a pretty long time. It's one of the biggest tragedy that happens to mankind, probably in my lifetime, honestly.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not young. I'm in my 30s. So, yikes. So anyway, if there's a September, there's a WSOP in September in Vegas, do you see yourself there?
I see myself there only if I have the vaccine and only if the schedule's favorable. Again, there was some chatter coming out of Las Vegas that perhaps the buy-ins start at 1,500 and go up. And if that's the case, it's not going to be a tournament series
So they're insinuating they'll have a shortened schedule and they, you know, take away the smaller events, right?
That was some of the chatter.
Because they probably don't want something like the smaller event because they attract large crowd. I mean, it's such a catch-22, isn't it? As an organizer, you want, the more the merrier, right? Mm-hmm. It's always the case, right? Now it's like do I really want 10,000 players to show up for a tournament? You know, like that kind of thing, right? It's a difficult times, Maureen.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I think European players, a lot of foreign players, you know, go to the WSOP. So for me, it would be a little bit disappointing if it wound up being, you know, all American. But given the choice, you know, let's have an all American WSOP, maybe some Canadians versus canceling, then I would rather see it go forward without us.
Well, I mean, it won't be the first time Americans, you know, say, you know, have a U.S. only event and call it World Something, right? Anyway, yeah. Don't hate me. I'm still a World Series of Poker fanboy. I don't know, Ty. Don't hate. Anyway, so I think this has been a good talk. I mean, especially considering how far we are from each other. I'm in Hong Kong, and you are in Switzerland? Where is Switzerland?
The German-speaking part, so in Zurich.
Oh, in Zurich. Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow, expensive cities. I've been there. All right, so good talking, Maureen. And, well, I hope everyone thinks a little bit about how to get more women into poker. And, well, I mean, I don't think we should think too hard about WSOP, though. I mean, it's up to the vaccines. Well, I wish you have a good time and things get better in Switzerland, Maureen.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you so much for inviting me on the show. I miss Asia so much. I miss APT Tour. I miss the Hong Kong Poker Players Association. I miss it all. So hopefully I can travel to you guys soon.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not the nicest thing come out of Asia, but you know, I do my best. All right. Thank you, Maureen. And this is it for the episode. Bye-bye.